We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Let's talk Michigan football. Welcome to this week's edition of the Inside Michigan Football Radio Show. Over the next hour, we're discussing the latest around Wolverines football and hearing from players and coaches. Now, here's your host, John Jansen.
Michigan heads to Indianapolis for the Big Ten Championship game this coming Saturday. Here on Inside Michigan Football, we're going to take a quick look back at the tremendous effort these Wolverines put together, the tremendous showing from Wolverine fans in the Big House this past Saturday, taking down Ohio State. Michigan heads into the championship game as Big Ten East champs at 11-1, 8-1 in the Big Ten. They will face the Iowa Hawkeyes, a Kurt Ferentz-led Iowa Hawkeye team. They come into this game 10-2, 7-2, Big Ten West champs. Today on Inside Michigan Football, we're going to get a chance to talk to both coordinators, Josh Gattis on the offensive side of things, Mike McDonald on the defense, talking about the game plans that they put together to defeat the Buckeyes. We're also going to get a chance to talk to one of the dominant units and a member of that dominant unit, Ryan Hayes from Michigan's offensive line. What a great victory on Saturday, but a lot to look forward to. As Jim Harbaugh said, it's just the start. Coming up in just a minute, we are going to talk to Jim Harbaugh. Stay tuned right here on Inside Michigan Football, brought to you from Learfield. Welcome back to Inside Michigan Football, and joined now by head football coach Jim Harbaugh. And coach, how exciting was this past weekend for you, your team, your family, and is it as exciting now as it was after the game?
It was a weekend that was tremendous. One that, as players said, Aiden Hutchinson, it was the best day of his life. A lot of players that texted the same thing, and I talked to, and same with Donovan Edwards, and it was signature seminal. Mm-hmm. How about that for a day and a weekend, and it makes I'm just really really proud. I remember my coach Bo Schembechler saying that it's every Michigan man's duty to everybody in the state of Michigan to beat Ohio State, and our guys were able to accomplish that.
Yeah, and it was the whole state of Michigan, because I saw, I think the Michigan State Police put out a tweet, you know, talking about the game and safe travels back to Ohio. There were, you know, boards along the highway, you know, enjoy your time in Michigan and those things. So it really was a state victory. And when you look at the performances by the leaders of your team, how much does it mean to you, and especially these players, that the your best players have their best game in the biggest moments?
Wow, that's huge. There was when you talk about the ones that we wouldn't be in the position we are in if it wasn't for them, and you start listing those guys. I mean, that's Aiden Hutchinson, mm-hmm. that's Hassan Haskins, that's Andrew Vastardis, that's Josh Ross, that's Andrew Stuber, that's Ryan Hayes, that's Brad Hawkins, mm-hmm. And Jake Moody, and Brad Robbins, and Ronnie Bell too. You know, what he's meant to us, but to see you know those guys, eight of those nine guys played, and they did. They played you know, some of their best game. And Jake Moody, for instance, I mean, his hang time on the kickoffs was exceptional. We were able to pin Ohio inside their 10-yard line twice. And because of that hang time and because of the coverage, you know, we ended up the season with the number one kickoff cover team in, as Bo would say, the United States of America. So, so proud of that. And then the things we needed to do defensively, we needed to change the look for the quarterback and for the sideline and the Ohio State press box so they couldn't lock into what we were doing. Defensively, Mike McDonald did a tremendous job with the scheme and the preparation. We did that. We said we had to get pressure on the quarterback. You know, we did that and then some. Ajabo, Hutchinson were tremendous. Aiden with the three sacks, Ajabo with the sacks, and Aiden with 15 pressures of their quarterback, which has never been done since they've been keeping that mm-hmm. statistic. And then the third thing, the coverage. You know, we had to cover their receivers, and we did that. I mean, the intensity that our guys, Vince Gray, DJ Turner, Hawkins, Dax Hill, and then the young freshman, Rod Moore, played a great game.
Yeah.
Had to go back and really watch the tape and study it, but the true freshman was outstanding. So was R.J. Moten, who played his best game. So all those things said, we knew they were still going to move the ball, and they were still going to score points and touchdowns, and they did. And it'd be the offense's job to respond, which they did every time. And even – you know, got the first punch in, the first touchdown in. Mm-hmm. And when our defense got a stop, we got another touchdown. Scored four touchdowns in the second half. Our offense moved the ball, scored points, got the ball into the end zone. And as we said, the special teams also were victorious.
Yeah, and you mentioned that response. Not only was it the last four possessions, other than victory formation at the end, which was your fifth possession in the second half, but the two possessions at the end of the first half, you scored a touchdown, and then it was a one-play finish out the half with Hassan Haskins. So the last true five possessions that you had in that football game all resulted in touchdowns. When you look at that and the way that the offense, defense, special teams played, but especially the offense and the offensive line, what did you see when you turned the film on and you watched how effective – the ground game was?
Well, I could tell the offensive line was just playing so good, you know, from start to finish. When you're not missing any assignments and everybody's doing their job, but then they're doing their job so effectively that, you know, they're moving people up front and then getting off on linebackers as well. The offense and having the time of their life while they're doing it, mm-hmm. That was a performance to behold. And then the perimeter blocking by Eric All, Mike Samerstill, and the rest of the receiving core and tight ends were outstanding. But Eric All was phenomenal. Mike Samerstill was phenomenal. I mean, there was touchdown blocks that Eric Hall was getting two, three guys at a time on each of those some of those touchdown runs by Hassan and AJ Henning. So it was Mike Sammer, still not a big guy, but I mean, he was packing a real punch, not only blocking corners, but sometimes sometimes linebackers, and a lot of the time safeties, who are, I mean, the safeties are much more the trained killers in the run game than the corners are. And those guys are coming down to mean business. And Mike Samrastel was put some guys on their back.
Well, it was a great win. When we come back, we're going to turn the page because we've got a championship game to prepare for. And I know there's an announcement that you want to make. So stay tuned in here for Inside Michigan Football, brought to you by Learfield. Welcome back to Inside Michigan Football. And Coach, we heard from a lot of the players, but especially Aiden Hutchinson was very vocal after the game about it being the greatest day of his life. You and I have had more days to draw from, but I think we would agree that it ranks right up there with what Aiden said. How do you turn the page from that emotional high to then prepare for a championship game?
Yeah, the way they prepared for this one, that's the one you really got to draw on. The difference is you knew this one was coming. Iowa, we didn't know that wasn't scheduled. I mean, the way we've looked at this is every day matters throughout the entire year, but only 12 count. And one counts the most, which is Ohio State. And now we got to mend that sign, and you know, 13 matter. But the way they prepared for this, both, you know, physically, mentally, spiritually, the way they got ready for this game, to do that again. How do you do that? By having great days, you know, great meetings, great practices, get healthier, which we are getting. We'll get some players, more healthy this week, more rested up, get the energy super high, and then go play the game.
Iowa is as consistent a program in the country as you're going to find. Kirk Ferentz has always done a great job of developing players. They've got offensive linemen that are remarkable. Their defense creates turnovers. What do you see when you look at this version of the Iowa Hawkeye team?
Offensively, defensively, special teams. They play at a level of consistency that is at the highest level of any team that you ever play. I mean, they're not trying to, run a trick play every single play. They're trying to beat you with consistency, with technique, with fundamentals in the system that they practice week after week. And in itself, when you look at a season of 12 games, you look at this consistency and level of, but then you also see the creativity put in there and in past years, and know that that's at their disposal, you know, any time that they choose. So you have to be able to guard against that. Plus, you have to be able to strap it up and know that you're going to have to play with, you're going to have to match that level of consistency in terms of fundamentals, technique, preparation, and then physicality at all times. And against each of those units.
I know that you had mentioned there was something that you wanted to announce, something that you're going to do. Could you share that with our listeners?
Yeah, thanks. Sarah and I were talking about it last night, and we decided that any bonus money that I am to receive through this season will be redirected to reimburse U of M athletic department employees who have stayed while taking a voluntary or mandatory pay reduction during the last 18 months during the pandemic.
That's amazing. And it's been a very tough 2 years for human civilization, but especially our family. And for what does it mean for you? Because you played here, you grew up here, now you coach here. The Michigan athletic family, the Michigan football family, how important has that family been to you in your life?
Well, it's so important that, whether it's folks that work here in football or at the ticket department or baseball coaches, Mike Bottom. There's so many people that my wife has gotten very close to, kids have, and really just our family way, our family contribution to those that have had some financial strain through the last 18 months.
Well, Coach, we appreciate it. Make sure you tell Sarah we appreciate her, and we look forward to seeing you guys and the whole entire Michigan family down in Indianapolis.
Appreciate it. We'll get ready. It's gonna be a big task. It's gonna be a daunting challenge, but we'll strive to have great days and get the energy high and go play.
Sounds good. We'll be back with Josh Gattis, Michigan's offensive coordinator, in just a few minutes. You're listening to Inside Michigan Football, brought to you by Learfield. Welcome back to Inside Michigan Football, and I'm joined by Michigan's offensive coordinator, Josh Gattis. Coach, I'm going to say this to everyone. I've said it to everyone so far. First, congratulations. Thanks for joining me. And I know the work's not done, but what's it feel like having a win like that and ending the regular season 11-1?
It feels amazing. I'm very proud of our kids, the commitment within the program, this journey started long before, a lot of people even, think about this season. They think about, the first game, but for us, the preparation to get to this point, started last year. It started last year, not necessarily in the offseason, but taking some of the experiences and the lessons that we took last year, to take the losses and to be in the position that we were in. And, we didn't have many people that were behind us. But we had 140 people in this building that were with us. And, to see us, come together, grow as a team, and the leadership of this team. I'm just thrilled as a coach because this is why we do this. We don't do this for the wins. We do this for the special moments, to see these guys be able to go out there and fulfill their dreams, fulfill their passion, and play together.
I want to take you back to the start of this season. Because against Washington, against Western, Northern Illinois, the non-conference games, and then against Wisconsin. I mean, you go right down the list of games, and you guys have been consistently running the football. And everybody said at the time, you can't beat Ohio State like that.
Right.
How were you able to do it?
We stayed true to our identity. And I think when you commit to something, you become good at something. And that's what we've done. We committed to wanting to run the football better. So we spent our whole offseason, doing beat Ohio drills is what we call them. Just commitment there where we're just going to run the ball at them and create, the physical presence in the game and take that part over on the lines. And so, we trusted and believed in ourselves. And while Ohio's being a team right now that the last 5 weeks they tried to be someone different, I told them earlier in the week that we're going to be who we are. And that's how we're going to win the game. And credit to Coach Moore and the offensive line. They came out and they really set the tone. And I'm so proud, of all five of those guys up front because, we've battled through adversity all year long, whether it's been injuries, guys in and out the lineup. There's been no excuses. There's been no drop-offs. The next man's been ready. And that just goes to the leadership in that room. It goes to the coaching in that room and the development in that room from Coach Moore.
And everybody was talking about Ohio State's offense and their receivers. And obviously one of the best defenses is to have them on the sidelines. And you guys possess the football. We knew that was part of the game plan going in. When did you know that yesterday's performance was a possibility?
I felt great about it this week in practice, this week after Tuesday. It was funny because there was no, obviously, going into a big game like this, you expect to see guys being tight throughout the week. And one of the things Coach Harbaugh talked about early in the week was we play our best when we're relaxed and we're having fun. And that's true. Our kids got tremendous confidence in their preparation, and we're battle tested. All the things we've been through this year, we've been in tight games. We've been versus top 10 defenses. Everything that, that could possibly come up Saturday, we've experienced. So that confidence is just carried over to this point, which allowed our kids to go out there and have success.
You guys take the kick. It's 10 plays, 75 yards. How big was that opening drive?
It was huge. starting fast and setting the tone for the game and really, you know, creating the identity of the game that we were going to dominate on both fronts, you know, not just offensive line, but defensive line as well. Just being able to smash them however we could and really set the tone. You know, they're a good team. You know, they're a good team. They're a finesse team. They're not a tough team. And so we knew that going into the game that we can out-physical them, we can out-tough them, and that was going to be the key to the game. And that's what we've prepared for all year long. You saw previously earlier this year, you know, in the game that they lost to Oregon, you know, Oregon was the most physical team on the field. That's the way they lost, and we committed to that recipe, and it paid off.
There's a lot of great things I still want to talk about. The second drive, however, and again, like, I've never played a perfect game. I'm sure you probably admit to the fact you never coached a perfect game. And in the second drive, defense goes three and out. You get the ball back in really good field position and the interception. Yeah. What went wrong?
Oh, we left some meat on the bone. Now we can laugh over that one. So, you know, obviously with the use of multiple signalers, so teams can't steal your signals. You know, we had an offensive player run the wrong signal, and if the person would have stayed in and blocked, we should have had the running back up on the rail, wide open for a touchdown. And we just, you know, one mistake led to another mistake, you know, where one other guy makes a mistake on a play, and then obviously we had a poor choice. But we're able to live past that thing today, but we did. That was an opportunity right there to put our foot on the throat early in the game. And, you know, our defense did a great job stopping them. We had a good punt return. We got the ball inside the red zone, and we got to make sure we eliminate turnovers there.
And you guys are able to go into halftime up, but just the resiliency of this team, because I believe it was you know, touchdown, interception, punt, touchdown. How are you guys able to keep this group focused and not get distracted by, oh no, Ohio State just went up 13-7. We've got to respond because you've responded now at Penn State. You responded against Ohio State.
Yeah, so really at halftime for us, the message was very clear. I mean, everything that we did in the first half, we actually let them off the hook in the first half because, you know, we had self-inflicting wounds. You know, we were just creating or committing mistakes that we had never done, you know, whether that was the second series, the third series, or the fourth series. And so we knew everything that we were giving them, we let them be in the game early in the first half. And so I literally told the guys in the second half, I said, hey, guys, all right, if we make sure that, you know, we go out and execute and we don't end up with any self-inflicted mistakes, we'll go out and dominate this next half. And credit to our players because they took that message and they played phenomenal the second half. And I'm just so proud as a coach to watch those guys commit to it, the belief, the trust. And hats off to our offensive coaching staff, the assistant coaches, Coach McDonald, everybody in the program. Just a tremendous job the second half.
Cade McNamara. I'll even go back. Same thing I asked you earlier. You know, early in the season, can't make the big throw, can't be explosive. He's been as good at making decisions and taking the heat and handling that as anybody I've seen play that position. Your thoughts on what you've seen from Cade McNamara through the regular season?
Yeah, you know, let's address the first part. When everyone said we can't do anything, it's not that we couldn't do anything. It's that we were choosing to do things differently. And I think that's the biggest narrative that needed to be changed. A lot of people thought we couldn't throw the ball just because we didn't choose to throw the ball, not because throwing the ball wasn't successful. A lot of people thought, you know, we can't throw it deep. It was because we were choosing not to. We were doing what we were doing best, and that allowed us to create an identity. That allowed us to build the team that we wanted to build, that we knew could go out and win and put us in position to play for a Big Ten championship. But going back to Cade, absolutely love him. Just tremendous leader. He is everything you want in your quarterback. If you could create the DNA, if you could take his DNA and put it in every quarterback, that's what you're going to get. You know, just someone that tremendous talent, obviously goes out and plays exceptionally well week in and week out. And, you know, the things that he does to make sure that we're in positive plays, eliminate negative plays, the leadership, the trust, the commitment, he's got the ability to call our offense up and demand more from everybody, and they give him that respect. And that's what you want from your quarterback.
Let's stay in the backfield because we got a lot to talk about back there. We'll start with Hassan Haskins. I mean, you want to talk about a guy that has carried the load. When other guys have gone down, he has stepped up. He's taken a beating. But after every play, he pops up, and he's ready to go again. What has he meant to you as a coordinator?
Oh, Age two, awesome. I mean, we've started now calling him the Ox, right? Because yeah. he can carry the load. You know, he's takes tremendous care of his body. And, you know, he's just a physical specimen when you look at him on the hoof. I mean, he's a guy that I can't say enough great things about, just his attitude, his work ethic. He shows up each and every day in practice. I mean, he doesn't miss a practice. He doesn't take a day off. He prepares so well, and he's so humble. That's the greatest attribute about Hassan, is whether he scores five touchdowns or one touchdown, he's going to have the same smile. And that's the team that we have, a team that loves playing together, loves playing for each other. And, you know, he's the best back in the Big Ten. There's no doubt in my mind, you know. And, you know, he would have the same numbers as anyone else in the country if it was just him. Mm-hmm. But we're afforded the luxury of having some really good running backs in that room. And so you could just imagine what his production would be if it was just him. But I think yesterday he really kind of put it out there for him to demand the respect across the country for the type of player that he is.
And you mentioned the you've got three great weapons. I'm sure there's others that we haven't even seen yet, but Blake Corum is able to come back yesterday. You know, he's been gone for a few games with an injury. How important was it for you and this game plan to be able to have an added wrinkle like him?
Oh, it was huge. Just getting Blake back and just you seeing the dynamic playmaking ability that, you know, even an 80% Blake could take the ball about 50, 60 yards on an Ohio defense like that. Had he been 100%, none of those guys would have had a chance to even touch him. But, you know, for us, you know, that adds the element of adding more to our run game. When we're able to have Hassan, we're able to have Blake, and we're able to have Donovan, we can attack every gap on the defense. And so whether that's putting the ball, you know, because we want to build the run game around what they do best, whether that's getting the ball on the perimeter with perimeter runs or perimeter passes to the backs, or whether that's being downhill from a physical standpoint, like which H2 prefers. And so we really just compliment each one of those guys with the style of play that fits them best.
And Donovan, we saw what he could do at times throughout the season, but when Blake was down, he stepped up, especially in the pass game. When you have the ability to use a running back like him, and there was a pass that he caught in the Maryland game, it was like around his shoelaces. Yeah. One yesterday that was or on Saturday that was a one-handed grab. Again, another added wrinkle to be creative on offense.
That's right. That's right. You know, Donovan, and there were still probably a couple more opportunities yesterday we didn't even get to that would have been some special plays mm-hmm. for Donovan, but we didn't need to call him at the time. But Donovan's an exceptional player. I mean, he's just he's the Swiss Army knife of running backs, I mean, because he can do everything. There's not one thing that he can't do. And, you know, that was the player that he was in high school. And when you saw the way Coach Bellamy used him in high school, they'd flex him out as a receiver. And he wasn't just running, you know, slant routes or hitches. He was running post. He was running real wide receiver routes. And so when you've got someone with the skill set of him, you know, it's all about maximizing it. And, you know, the hard part is just figuring out how to get all three of them on the field, right? Yeah. The easy part is letting them do what they do best. That's yeah. it.
So I wish I had more time. We're running out of time, but preparing for Iowa in the Big Ten championship game, I know it's early in the week. What type of challenges do they present?
You know, I think obviously we've got a little bit of experience in 2019 going against them. I think they're a very well-coached defense. They don't do a lot, but what they do it exceptionally well. And, you know, when you look at them defensively, the statistics stand out. You know, they lead the country in defensive turnovers. I mean, they're well above 20-plus interceptions on a year, and that says that they're well-coached. You know, they're gonna pattern match things that you do. They're going to know, you know, how to defend their own weaknesses, and they're aware of their own weaknesses, and they play to their strengths. And so we've got to do a great job protecting the football first and foremost. You know, that's a stingy defense that's created a ton of turnovers. You know, and we've got to make sure that we protect the football and don't give them the ball back.
Coach, appreciate it. Best of luck as you prepare for this week.
Thanks, John.
We'll be back in just a few moments. You're listening to Inside Michigan Football, brought to you from Learfield.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crow portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back to Inside Michigan Football. Now I'm joined by the defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald. Coach, first of all, congratulations. You are 1-0 against the Buckeyes, but this was a game plan that – how much did you talk to Josh Gattis about what they're doing offensively, what you guys are doing defensively, and with Jay Harbaugh on special teams?
Appreciate it, John. I think we've really had the same – mentality throughout the season, honestly. Like, we're trying to play complementary football. You know, we're trying to play a team game. We're trying to win games. Mm-hmm. Whatever it takes to win the game, that's what we're trying to do. So, yeah, there's a lot of conversations throughout every week, you know, and coach included about, you know, what we're trying to do offensively, defensively. And, you know, I just think last night or yesterday afternoon was a great example of us, you know, playing together.
You start to put together a game plan for a team that's very explosive offensively, and you got three receivers that are going to be playing on Sunday. How do you look at that, and how do you break it down for your players to make it manageable and have a healthy respect, but make it not seem like this team is unbeatable?
Yeah, I think we just tried to give our guys confidence. You know, there's plenty of reps with our guys at the line of scrimmage winning. You know, and then what we said was, hey, look, these guys are going to make plays. They're great players. They got a good system, you know, but we're really good players too. You know, and we have a good system. So our goal is to make more plays than they will. And we felt confident in doing that. And, you know, with the zones and the mans, you know, we try to change things up just so it's not the same thing over and over again for our guys and give them relief every once in a while. And try to make change the picture on the quarterback. But you got to give credit to our back seven guys. I mean, they played their butts off. And they were relentless, and they got, you know, they caught a couple balls, but our guys didn't flinch and just kept coming back for more. And at the end of the day, we ended up making more than they did.
Up front, you got two guys that are elite pass rushers. And I know when you have guys that can rush like that, they're good. They're excellent because of who they are, but also because of what's inside and the rush lanes that aren't there or escape routes for the quarterback. But three sacks by Aiden Hutchinson, a couple of forced holding calls at really key moments as well, which is as good as a sack. But when you watch the game film and you see Aiden Hutchinson and what he did to those offensive tackles, and you watch – let's just start there, because I was standing – I love to stand at the goalpost and watch everything develop. And there are times where I can see – I know that there's going to be a one-on-one matchup. Aiden Hutchinson, in almost every one-on-one matchup – what did you see from him?
I felt him out there the whole game.
Yeah.
I mean, he affects every play. If it's run to him, he sets the edge in a violent manner and probably makes the play. If it's run away, well, if that thing cuts back, he's probably making it. And every pass play, you know, they have to account for him because he's going to win. He's just going to win. He's so relentless. He's so physical. He understands the plan. He understands how to attack, how they're setting them, and he's just a once in a however many year player. I just, you know, we might be jumping the gun here a little bit, but like, I don't see how he's not the best player in the country. I don't think it's close. I can't imagine a guy that has more impact on individual play on a play to play basis than 97.
Yeah, and there were even times where he would read the play. And if it was a dump pass to a running back, like, he was there affecting it, whether he tipped the ball or at least distracted the running back, his ability to study and work hard and go out and perform is remarkable to me. Now let's go to the other side, David Ajabo. The development that he's had throughout the course of this year, how have you seen him improve in his ability but also just gain confidence throughout the entire year?
Yeah, that's been a really fun development, you know, throughout the season. I've told some people before, you know, when we first got here, realized he was a special talent. He had a lot of ability, had a super fastball, you know, and then it's just been fun just to watch him grow, like you said. I mean, he's just been so hungry. I think once he started to make plays, and, you know, as you're learning and you feel like you're developing, you're getting better, you know, that's an exciting feeling, you know, and then when that goes on over time, you know, you gain confidence, and it's just kind of a self-growing, it's a kind of like a snowball, you know, it just keeps going. I think, you know, over the last probably 8 weeks, you really see that thing, you know, take off.
Josh Ross yesterday made a couple of big stops, a couple of big tackles at key moments. What have you seen from your linebackers?
Yeah, I'm so proud of Josh. You know, he's been battling all year. He probably played his best game. He's flying all over the place, smacking people, pressing blocks. Wasn't blocked once, I don't think. I mean, he just such control of what we're asking him to do. You know, there's a lot of moving parts in our defense, and we put a lot on our Mike linebacker, and he calms everything down and gets us lined up, and just so proud of him, so happy for him. He played out of his mind last night. I'm really proud of him.
And you've coached in a lot of big games, obviously, in the NFL. And when you need your top players to step up and make plays, and you mentioned the secondary, you mentioned Josh Ross, Aiden Hutchinson, David Ojabo, how good of a feeling is it for just you as a coach to see those guys have their best games in the biggest games?
Oh, it's a great feeling, man. I mean, you know, you talk about how we envision the game playing out, and you go through the game plan all week and all that. But, like, I'm just telling you, like, and there's a little bit of a challenge going on, like, hey, we need you to do X, you know. And those guys respond every time, you know, and just the mentality they had all week. You know, we just kind of knew they were going to do it. And to go see it play itself out throughout the game was really special.
14-13 at half. You guys come out, you know that Ohio State's got the ball. Second halves have been a challenge against this team. Now, I know those are different years, different teams, different personnel. What was the conversation like coming out of halftime of how important that first set of downs was?
You know, I think a good thing we did this week was not make the game more than a football game in terms of preparation and how we approached the different situations and what we're going to call and things like that. So we really took our same halftime approach, made the necessary adjustments, how we're going to call it. We definitely understood the importance of that first drive or two. But really it's that way every week, especially when the team has the ball coming out. But our guys are just laser focused. We had a great stop there. I think that's when Josh had the stop on third and short. And man, I mean, that was awesome. And they're just locked in. You know, it's just, there wasn't any yelling or screaming. Just guys just knew what we had to do, and we went and did it.
I remember I asked you when you first got here if you had been in the big house, and I know you hadn't. Now you've played a season in the big house. That environment after the game, what was it like for you? One, just trying to get to the locker room, but two, the celebration. I mean, it was euphoric.
It's like the snow coming down. You can't write it any better. I mean, it was special. You know, then, you know, my wife came down, my dad was there, and a bunch of friends and stuff, and we had a really cool moment right on the field. And shoot, by then the whole place was filled up. And then I was like, hey, let's go back to the locker. You know, I want to go see the teammates and the rest of the coaches. And couldn't get back, you know.
It's about a half-hour process.
You know, I think it took longer. I got to midfield, and I was like, shoot, I got to retrace. So I ended up going around the field, you know, stopping to talk to folks and stuff, which was fun. Got stuck again. Ended up going through the stands. Tried to talk to, like, security people into that, like, because I didn't have a credential.
Hey, I'm Coach McDonald.
I was like, I swear, I'm a coach. I swear, like, this is the call sheet. See, like, please believe me. I had to, like, talk, like, three guys into it. So hopefully they didn't lose their jobs or anything. Yeah. But by the time I got back to the locker room, shoot, I think I was like the last person in there. But just to sit down with the vets, you know, and just kind of sit there and just smile and just enjoy the moment. I'll remember that the rest of my life.
I know you're probably moved on a little bit. There's still a lot of film to watch from that game, corrections to be made. But what do you know about Iowa going into this Big Ten championship game?
They've been a great program for a long time. Coach Ferentz is a great coach, and they're always right there. I know they play a physical brand of ball. They're complimentary, kind of like we're trying to be. we got a great challenge ahead of us. This is a different style of offense than we've played the last probably half of the season. So, some things we're going to have to kind of dust off a little bit. But we'll be ready to go. It's a great challenge for us. And, we got to finish the mission.
Well, Coach, appreciate your time. Congratulations again. And I look forward to seeing you guys in Indy.
Oh, great. Thanks, John.
We'll be back with more on Inside Michigan Football, brought to you from Learfield. I'm now joined by one of the stars yesterday and doesn't get enough mentioned because if things go right, nobody notices this group, and that's the offensive line, Ryan Hayes. Ryan, first of all, congratulations. Thanks for joining me. What did that performance feel like for you yesterday?
It was just an incredible feeling because we went out there and we were just confident in ourselves. We knew what we wanted to do, and it just worked out perfectly for us.
When you're watching film during the week, did you feel like that performance was possible?
Definitely. We were watching on tape, and we just saw, like, this wasn't the Ohio State from a couple years ago in the past. They seemed like we could just run the ball on them. Seemed like we could protect Cade well, and that's what happened.
How did those previous experiences for you, how did they motivate, how did they affect your preparation?
Obviously, the mindset has been different around here. It's like, oh, can we beat them? Can we beat them? But this year it was like, we're going to do it. So that just was great for us. We just knew what we wanted to do.
And you guys up front from Vistardis and Stuber have been very consistent. Mm-hmm. You've had some guards come in and rotate. How big of a challenge has that been for you to have, at times, a different voice or a different player next to you, but they've come in and played well? Yeah.
It hasn't really been a challenge because I've played all those guys before in practice and stuff, and I think that's a super tight room. We're all love each other, so it's easy just to plug and play with those guys.
You guys have had challenges throughout the year. Wisconsin, it was tough to run the ball. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a challenge responding to a loss to Michigan State. Yeah. Fourth quarter against Penn State. Yeah. This offensive line particularly, but this team has been able to respond. Yeah. What's different? How is this team able to respond?
I think we just have a lot more confidence in ourselves and each other than in the past. We're not. I feel like it's definitely more of a team thing too. We're not playing as individuals out there. I think it's the biggest thing this year is just how much of a team we are, and we just trust each other.
After the game, crowd rushes the field. What was that experience like for you?
I always seen it on TV. It looked kind of fun, but it was really
Did you
cool.
get off of there fast?
No, because I went to the other, like, our sideline to see where my parents were. And by the time I was there, I couldn't get back across to the tunnel. And it was just, like, cause so many people I couldn't get through. So it took me a while. I didn't even see the post-game speech. So
were you dancing around with the crowd?
A little bit, yeah. As
you should.
It was fun, yeah.
You've got a big challenge ahead because you finished the season 11-1. It's an emotional victory against Ohio State, but it's still only Big Ten East mm-hmm. champs. How big of a challenge is it to refocus and prepare for Indianapolis?
I think everybody had their fun yesterday, and they know our season's not over, and I think today our focus has definitely turned to Iowa, and we definitely don't want to end it. Yet. What happened yesterday, we want to keep going.
It's the first time Michigan's going to go to Indianapolis. Yeah. What does it mean for you to be a part of that team?
Yeah, I don't think it's really set in yet. I was thinking about that yesterday. It's just crazy that this hasn't ever happened in Michigan history, going to Indianapolis mm-hmm. at least. So it's pretty incredible.
And Sherrone Moore, his first year as offensive line coach, what has he meant to you guys as you build chemistry between the 5, 6, 7 of you guys that are playing and your offensive line coach?
He's really meant everything to us. You know, last year we struggled. Our room wasn't as cohesive, and he just brought this unity to our group. He brought a lot of positive energy, and just he makes you want to play for him.
Well, Ryan, I really appreciate your time, yeah. And I look forward to seeing you guys down in Indianapolis.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Inside Michigan Football. If you missed any of tonight's show, check out the replay on MGo Blue Podcasts. Subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.